intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
After 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Nuri, and I shall be your host for the day as we have a mash-up Wednesday, Man Down Wednesday. And of course, if we have a mash-up Wednesday, Man Down Wednesday, we have Aaron Green with me, and of course, we have Ian Munnings with me, and we have a number of conversations, topics that we want to discuss. And guess what? It's an open line Wednesday. That means that we discuss anything that you want to discuss as we analyze the news. We have one or two things that are trending that we found interesting that, hey, I say, hey, let me bring it to the forum and let these good gentlemen and lady hash it out. Let's see what is intent. But I want to say this. Grand Bahama. You know what? I wrote down something. Be the groundbreaking capital of the Bahamas. Every other week, there's a groundbreaking ceremony happening in Grand Bahama. However, nothing is popping out of the ground. The ground just seems barren.
Ribbons.
Right?
Ribbons popping out. They have a ribbon tree. They have a ribbon forest in Grand Bahama. Not only is it the groundbreaking capital of the Bahamas, but somebody have a ribbon tree. You see how many brand new, fresh, spanking ribbons is on them shovels?
Just brand new shovels.
And brand new shovels.
Brand new shovels, so you had to get brand new ribbons.
If I was the PM, they's going to have to use the shovel from last time. We find them same shovel.
Wait. What do you mean from last time?
Didn't they break ground before?
At the same spot?
That's why you need the old shovel, because the shovel been there. The shovel know how rocky the road is.
What you trying to say, Aaron? You trying to say that you believe they broke ground to build the same building at the same spot and under a different administration?
Yeah, they broke the same ground again.
They have us for goons. I think someone have me for fool.
No, they have you for fool, because I am growing a small ribbon forest in my backyard.
But how you notice that's the same spot they broke ground on the last time? You used to be watching.
Well, they didn't submit a new EIA. They didn't submit a new environment. The same spot. They have to be relying on the old environmental impact assessment for the project, because I ain't see a new one yet. That's why I assume it's in the same place.
Interesting.
Because, you know, we take environmental impact assessments very, very seriously.
Yeah, I see what you're trying to say there. Did we get the financing for it yet? Because one or two of the groundbreakers, like that the one in Cat Island, where we had the groundbreaking ceremony for the airport, and we are now seeking the finances. So I want to know, have we secured the finances for this new project?
I don't know, but when I saw all of those shovels, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. When I saw 10 shovels, right? I thought
brand
to myself,
shovels. Brand new shovels.
You know the central bank lost $9 million? Like, it just wrote, like...
You want to go there with the central bank?
No, I'm not going there with the central bank at all. I'm just saying maybe the money is there, and that's why they went to dig there.
That's they're trying to look for the gold.
Yeah.
I want to know how you feel about the central bank just writing off $9 million. But that's okay. That's small change.
I don't think they did that. I don't think that was the attitude in the room.
So what kind of attitude you started to put in the room?
We write it off. These very seriously.
Who people think take these things seriously?
The people that we appoint and we hire to run these roles, these offices and fulfill these functions, I think they take it very seriously. But I think there's a difference between, you know, just like how when the prime minister goes abroad, right? He speaks a different language than when he is at home.
We tend to forget that sometimes the audience changes, so the prime minister has to change his tune.
Right. And so, although you see a calm response from the central bank, I think everybody is concerned about loss at this level. I don't think it's something that people just take lightly.
$9 million is small money, though. It's small money. Just because you don't have $9 million.
Okay, I was about to say.
You took his big money. But that's small money. That's why they could write it off so easily.
They consider the change in the country that we live in.
And check Ian Mike, because I can't hear Ian. Go ahead.
What did you say, Ian? I says considered to be change.
Yeah, small change. That's small change. That's small change, Eric.
In this country, in this hemisphere.
Listen, I'm a C-grade billionaire. Yeah. And $9 million is still plenty of money to me.
You like Munker, who's counted the trees.
No.
No, you're different. You're different.
No.
No, I don't count trees.
But before, what will happen to the Victoria property, the hotel, Old Victoria Hotel property? I see we're not doing it anymore. The Central Bank is not building at the old Hotel Victoria building. Mm-hmm. But there has been no explanation of what will happen to the property, especially when the property was designated as part of the downtown development project, rejuvenation of downtown. Mm-hmm. Now that they're not billing it, what is it slated for? Or are we just going to ignore it? Just
it still could be used.
Well, no, we know it could be used.
But the port is there.
I want to put a tuck shop right now.
Do we realize that some level of development can be going there from some private sector?
We don't know.
Why do you use the word? How you know it's private sector?
It's the port, isn't it?
No, we're talking about Royal Victoria Hotel by across the road from the old post office.
Yes.
Like across the road from the embassy.
What do you think is going to go there?
When we do the re-gentrifications?
You, conspiracy gentrification.
I like that word. I'm still on phase one, which is the gentrification. You already re-gentrifying it.
Yes, they're re-gentrifying it.
But what do you think they can put there?
Realistically?
Yeah.
We could start with some condos right there.
Okay.
Condos.
Hold on, you mean high-end housing?
That's the new way.
So that's what you think that they're going to put there?
Probably.
That's interesting.
I have a text here that says, I'm from Freeport, Grand Bahama. That's the same spot and the same hospital they were talking about for more than 10 years now. We notice. We notice it.
Yeah, and I want to say to younger Bahamians, you're going to hear or feel like a degree of cynicism from older Bahamians about things like this, right? Like you're trying to highlight the importance and the urgency of a matter like this. And then older people will just look at you and suck their teeth and turn their head. It's because we've experienced this before.
Yeah, but Ian mentioned the port.
Yeah.
What do you think about the port? I think the port looks nice. Silent? You don't like the port?
I do like it. When I say it, what I mean, it looked nice.
You see the amphitheater?
What, the amphitheater?
Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah, it is nice.
They have a big time concert on Bay there.
That's not on Bay.
That's not on
Bay. Does it face Bay Street?
That's true. That's not Bay. That's a separate city altogether.
My bigger concern is this, right? The thing looked beautiful, I mean, for the aesthetic that was chosen, right? My question is not, is it Bahamians helped to build it in some small way?
The Turkish people built that, man.
Bahamians helped to build it in some small way.
they bought the water.
Possibly.
And provided the tuck shop.
Possibly.
Go ahead.
But the point is this. Why are Bahamians unable or unwilling to produce and create these things for themselves, for ourselves? What is it that will compel or inspire Bahamians to present the best of themselves purely for other Bahamians? Not
lack
for profit.
Of imagination. See, you didn't expect that.
No, because I was going to say lack of empathy.
Lack of imagination. I don't think we could have fathomed something as grand as that. Therefore, you couldn't use Bohemian architectures and labor to build such a thing.
Well, I think not enough of us, right? Like we haven't been able to hit critical mass. The number of people who have imagined this for Bahamians, not for profit, purely
for Bahamians.
But the question is, are there enough of us, right? And so I want to congratulate Pam Burnside, right?
Mm-hmm.
She was officially appointed?
She was officially appointed. There's an announcement.
In charge of, and I don't know what her official title is, but I'm giving her a title. Is she in charge of the 100% authentically Bahamian Quality and Standards Board?
Hold on.
Mm-hmm.
It's a committee. I will know why is there a need to have a committee.
Mm-hmm.
The three or four shops there sells Bahamian.
Are you throwing shade? Because
me,
I
that's a shady person.
I want to throw the shade.
You see how dark I am.
That's what I'm saying.
This side of the moon is just black.
Because there are a couple of questions. I think Pam is the person for the job.
Right choice for the job.
Right. The question though is, what exactly is she policing? What can we produce? Sufficient 100% Bahamian goods.
At a cruise ship price rate?
Right, that cruise passengers can afford. Because those two things go hand in hand.
Straw bags. Straw with good quality straw bag start at $120.
Right. And then you raised something that is important. What percentage of businesses, vendors, and spaces in the port are expected, what percentage is expected to be 100% Bahamian? Because maybe, like you say, it's just two or three shops. Out of the whole display, only two or three shops are required to have a manager. And then what's the standard? Have we made an assessment using BAIC, the Orange Economy stakeholders? Have we determined what's the highest percentage of Bahamian-ness in goods that we could guarantee? Are we looking at the standard is 50% Bahamian? Is it 75% Bahamian, right? What percentage of the product has to be made or constructed in the Bahamas?
Aaron, Ian, let me say that. You know I have family who works in the straw market. They've been in the straw industry for 60-odd years.
You related invested. To Orville Turnquest?
I have kin who been as there as long as Orville Turnquest family.
Frankie Wilson family also.
Yes. Anyway, my point is, there's such a thing as called made in the Bahamas and made for the Bahamas.
Mm-hmm.
In the straw market, there are things that was made for the Bahamas. That means they import things from Cuba and Dominican Republic and then they put the Bahamas name on it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It was made for the Bahamas because it's touristic in nature.
Uh-huh.
And they put the Bahamian logo for it.
On it.
But when you have an inspector, a committee that said it wants to be 100% Bahamian, what would the made for Bahamas items? Are they trying to throw those away or dismiss it so they won't be acceptable in this place? Or will it? Or they say that's also part of the Bahamian concept?
Right. I mean, a fantastic point, because yesterday we spoke to the delegation from Ghana. Right, the trade network.
Remember that there's a trade network going on.
The summit is happening right now at the Franklin R. Wilson Center at UB Campus, 8:30 to 1 p.m. or 8 to 1 to 8 p.m.
There you go.
Anyway, y'all get there before 2 o'clock and see what's happening. There are opportunities for Bahamians to make goods in Cuba or in the DR or in Ghana even. To be sold in our market, mm-hmm. right? That's possible. But the real question, well, not even say the real question because I got 75. But the question is, the committee, do we have a group of people whose job is to determine, so, okay, you've got these goods from Cuba. Is there a timeline in which you can guarantee a transfer of production from Cuba to the Bahamas? So you're doing these things, I get it. I'm going to give you 5 years to figure out sustainable production of this product in the Bahamas. Is the committee, one of its functions, to determine what can be produced locally and how to support local artisans or vendors producing those things or purchasing those things from local producers?
And that's something to consider and something to debate.
Yeah, yeah.
But let's talk about ownership for the port as we transition, right?
Yeah.
I know that 49%, it's a PPP. First off, it's a PPP. And the PPP is what again?
Public-private.
Private,
I don't
partnership.
Know. Partnership. Yeah.
It's a partnership, right?
Yeah.
And whereas I have it written down, the foreign company, the big time cruise line, owns 49%.
Right.
And the investment board, not a Bahamian government.
Not the National Investment Fund.
People disappeared. Yes, that. That owns the other 49%.
The National Investment Fund?
Yes.
That was created by the National Investment Fund Act was recently tabled, I think, and passed.
Yes.
And was touted as replacing the software.
That
entity is going to own 49% of the cruise port?
49% of the cruise port. And I'm not sure if people appreciate that and want to understand what does that mean. Where does that, the funds or the profit goes? It goes back into the fund. And what that does mean for the whole Bahamas?
Right, because I'm going to have to pull up my notes on that, but the first three sub funds they announced, the first funds and sub funds they announced, all seem to be dealing with family, well, renewable resort energy and family island infrastructure implementation and repair and maintenance. That is fascinating. I mean, I wonder, is there any body, like organization or group, whether state-derived or private sector, right, that is assessing this, is talking about this, is bringing it to the public?
And
there's another question. Who is the YES Foundation?
That's what I was going to do. See, I was trying to break it down. See, and let me just read this so people can analyze it. So the Nassau Cruise Port Limited is owned 49% by the Global Ports Holding PLC, right? Then the 49% Bahamas Investment Fund. Then 2%, the last remaining 2% is owned by the YES Foundation, right? What is the YES Foundation? And it says, hence, shareholders will be investing in the Bahamas Investment Fund. As such, investors in the fund will vote on fund-specific issues, while the director of the fund will vote on NCP level. What does that mean?
Let me read it again.
I have a whole link. I'll read the whole link for you, you know, because I have a link that you can actually read up on it in terms of how the fund break down. But see, the reason why I initially...
Invest in the fund, why am I not allowed to participate at all decision-making levels if I have gained a degree of equity through my purchase in these stocks? Not just that, the YES Foundation.
Who decided
that the YES Foundation would be the entity to receive the 2%? Who did that? And who is the what is the agency responsible for? It can't be the Minister of Tourism and Investments in Aviation, right? Because there's already a conflict of multiple conflicts of interest as far as I'm concerned. But I can't seem to find any information. I mean, I found a YES Foundation, but I'm not sure if it's Bahamian because this particular foundation has a mailing address in San Anselmo, California.
Interesting. I'm trying to look it up as we talk, too, so I can show you the link on it. But the reason why I'm concerned, I remember BTC. We have 2% for charity, too, for BTC. I don't even... When last you heard about BTC given, talking about that 2%?
When last I heard from BTC? In fact, I spent 37 minutes on the phone last night and 37 minutes on the phone this morning trying to get through to BTC to report what it turns out to be an island, well, an eastern district, the eastern side of the island-wide outage for several hours. Now, I see the look of frustration on your face, Ian, but I want to tell you this. Manage your frustrations and your expectations, because my cousins down in Auckland's having an even harder time than us on the eastern end of the island.
You ever notice when you purchase the plans from BTC and they give you these what they call 7 days or 10 days unlimited?
Yeah.
And it seems that these data go in within 2 days.
Unlimited doesn't mean unlimited. And guess
what? That's what it said.
I don't think we have any legislation in the Bahamas that says that when it comes to the telecommunications sector, unlimited doesn't mean unlimited. It means something else.
Well, they shouldn't use the word.
They shouldn't. But they've decided since the people them doing it in the States, they could do it too.
But the in the U.S., if there is a $10 plan or a 15-day or a 30-day, you get it for 15 or 30-day. Not you telling me that, did you use the internet?
No.
Did you go on Facebook for more than maybe 30 minutes and then all of a sudden your data's gone within 2 days or a day? I mean, that's foolishness.
Anyway, what I do know in the U.S.
Money-making scheme.
What I do know in the U.S.
This is the wording that they're having. Unlimited.
Unlimited.
7 days.
Unlimited no longer means unlimited in the U.S. market, but they have legislation. See, they have legislation that guides the telecommunications sector.
Do we?
There you go. But how can you be unlimited and you are limited of going on a particular site? Because that drains all of your...
Thank you very much.
It cannot be unlimited.
Well, listen, this is... fascinating. I'm going to beg you all 2 minutes because there's a connection, right?
Mm-hmm.
With all of this. Here's a question I have for the port, right? Well, for this, for the government and the port. Who's going to provide your internet services? Who's going to provide your mobile services and internet services?
At the port?
At the port.
It can be BTC or Alive, eh?
It doesn't have to.
They could barely, they're barely managing the mainland.
But we need to promote Bahamian businesses. So it has to be one of them in order to invest back into the country.
Yeah, but if I'm one of the 49% Bahamian ownership,
you're not one. I don't. This, the investment fund is the 49%. And see, this is what we fail to realize. But the investment fund, the Bahamas Investment Fund, owns 40.
It's the beach club that said that Bahamians could invest, not the cruise port.
There you go. Two different entities altogether.
So there's a new cruise port in Providence that replaced Prince George Wharf, and Bahamians can't invest in it. And nobody's even explained to me to what extent Bahamians can be there. Even. Like, do I need to have a cruise badge to be on the port? How do I, as a Bahamian, take advantage of the services offered?
But it's a general area. It's like a strip mall. You can go to the amphitheater. You can go to the high-end, because it's a high-end restaurant, a five-star type restaurant. They haven't announced what is going in there. And then they have a series of Bahamian restaurants that you can go to.
So the port will be restricted, I'm seeing.
No, that's a cruise ship area should be restricted. So they created a mall, an outside mall, where Bahamians can go. There's no parking downtown, so I'm not sure I can get there. But
what,
I mean,
you what can, about who's going to be manning the gates? Because somebody's going to be manning the gates.
There's no gates. It's an open, you walk right in. There's no gates.
There will be a higher level security stop point, right? That facility. It must be.
It is.
Right? It has to be if you're going to have that type of access to other parts of the facility. But my question is, who is concerned about net neutrality, right?
Mm-hmm.
We got this article I read on Monday. IRCA makes recommendation on third mobile operator concludes 5G study, right? There's a potential of a third operator. There's also a potential for the 5G rollout. Alive says, look, you can't have both. You can't have 5G and the third mobile operator.
What do you mean third mobile operator? Which group is going to be the third? We have two mobile operators. We have Alive and we have BTC. And
so Cable Bahamas.
But Cable Bahamas isn't a mobile operator. Mobile is on your phone.
Yes.
Now, you can access internet or telephone services on your phone, right? But Cable Bahamas only offers home internet and home-based services, right? So Alive and BTC are the two current operators.
Mm-hmm.
Now, IRCA has made a recommendation but did not reveal that recommendation. So I'm not sure. The recommendation is on whether or not the market can tolerate a third operator.
Man, here locally.
Please leave the studio, sir.
You think this is
no? Go, go.
You think this is a man?
Go outside the studio. No. Go to the parking lot and call me. I'm not running you. I'm sending you on a journey.
You have the wrong phone. You need to get a high-end phone, and you'll get crisp, clear cellular calling.
I have a high-end phone.
Yeah, and you're still getting drop calls.
In fact, at any point in time in my house, no matter where I am, even if I'm sitting on top of the tower, my Wi-Fi is using my data to support the delivery of the internet.
What?
Something is seriously wrong.
This text here says, morning, Starlink will handle the internet at a new port. I don't know where this person get that from. But Starlink isn't established yet, eh?
Mr. Newer, you ain't in the parking lot. Why you don't ask me this question from the parking lot? Here's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
so, what I learned after asking the question on the show, is anybody currently using Bahamas Starlink services, or have you used it in the past? A message was sent to me that a number of major events were managed using Starlink as their data service provider.
I read somewhere where Starlink had a memorandum of understanding with one of the local companies.
I have an article. The article is titled Starlink, a new chapter for connectivity in the Bahamas, from the website ts2.space. That's ts2.space, dated the 20th of April 2023. Again, the title of the article is Starlink, A New Chapter for Connectivity in the Bahamas. An excerpt from that article. The Bahamian government has recognized the potential of Starlink to transform the country's connectivity landscape and has been actively engaging with SpaceX to bring the service to its shores. In February 2021, the Bahamas Telecommunications Company announced that it had signed a memorandum of understanding with SpaceX to explore the deployment of Starlink in the country.
That's BTC?
This collaboration is expected to accelerate the rollout of the satellite internet service, benefiting both residents and visitors alike. That's what they said, BTC. But here's what I asked. I'm going to ask it again, Cecil, because that's a very, very loaded excerpt I read just now. Is it possible that this is just not true? Right? Is it possible that it's not true that BTC in February 2021 signed a memorandum of understanding with SpaceX to expand Link in the country? Maybe it's just not true. Maybe it's an embellishment, right?
Embellishment.
Yeah, people writing in foreign, they ain't never been to the Bahamas. They don't know about Police Boy Blue, right? They don't know about none of that. They don't care. They write anything. That's mm-hmm. possible.
Mm-hmm.
What if the author of this article misinterpreted the relationship between the government and BTC? Maybe the writer of this article assumes that BTC is still a state-owned, 100% state-owned entity, and spoke, and they actually signed a memorandum of understanding with the government, or maybe with Ministry of Works, and not BTC itself, right? Because now, what does that mean for competition? Well, it doesn't mean that there's a third mobile operator. Mm-hmm. It couldn't. It means that there are two mobile operators.
Yes. And there's a partnership between
right.
two.
And can then the second existing mobile operator say, this is unfair, right? But more importantly, what I'm concerned about is, why can't we know these things? Starlink apparently has been operating in the Bahamas from 2019. Apparently, SpaceX has signed a memorandum of understanding with BTC in 2021. I got an article here from 22. It's entitled Starlink for the Bahamas 2022-2023 question mark. There's an RV package for that. Foreigners are having conversations about their potential, the near access to Starlink services in the Bahamas.
I have friends who claim they're using Starlink now in the Bahamas.
At the business level or the personal?
The personal level, whom? They claim. They say, see, no, I had this long time.
I bet you there's Jesus calling me on the Starlink right now.
Yeah.
Ian, turn the phone down, man. Making me jealous.
I want to see if Starlink still works.
You're making me jealous because I don't have that type of phone service right now. But this is troubling. Because we now need to have a conversation about net neutrality in the Bahamas. The conversation should have been raised a long time. I'm still wondering why nobody asked, what technology was Sam Bankman-Fried using to run his FTX operation? And what technology were they using to manage the exchange? And what technology did the government promise to potential exchanges like OKX in Exuma? What is the technological advancements, or what are the advancements, or what is the rollout that you put on the table to attract these people to run that level of business in the Bahamas? A, and B, why do you, the government, think it's okay to offer this service to one set or a particular set of people in the country and not even have a conversation about its existence with the rest of us?
Aaron, let alive them worry about that. We locals, if we benefit from Starlink, we benefit. Let alive and BTC and the government worry about hash that out. Just be honest. What I want to know about is this 2%, and who is this Yes Foundation? Let's talk about that. I read on the website, Nassau Cruise Port Equity Offering, right? It says another 49% of NCP is held by Global Ports Holding, right? The world's largest independent cruise port operator. And the remaining 2% will be used to establish the YES Foundation, a non-profit charitable venture that will support the advancement of Bahamians in youth, education, and sports-related programs.
I heard that name before, though.
I'm going to see this with my own eyes.
I've heard of YES Foundation before.
No, see, I've heard of YES I Foundation, which is a sporting group, and they provide soccer programming. I've heard of them.
No, I heard about the YES Foundation
before. Is it YES or YEP?
YES.
But anyway, my point is, how come we don't know any information about this YES charity group? Is it foundation?
Is it
run by Bahamians or is it run independently by this foreign company?
You know what I just learned? You need to be able to use the Western Esplanade for a fundraiser. You need to either have a business license or be a registered to use it.
Yes,
right?
You have to be
a registered NGO.
So like a kind of mistake out there.
You have to either have a business license or you have to be a registered NGO. And you telling me that a formal arrangement has been agreed upon, right, to give 2% of this thing that obviously has not taken into account the full process of balancing the need to preserve the past, the need to the need to operate in the present and the need to prepare for the future. They haven't done that. And you're telling me that we don't even know the name or know about the organization that the 2% has been going to?
I think that should have been clearly cut.
Well, I'm going to be honest with you. I still don't know what's happening with the 2% from BTC.
I don't know.
But what I do know is they're not using it to hire people. I do know it seemed like it's only one person. Don't cut your eye at me. You're supposed to be in the parking lot trying to call me.
I want to know what BTC doing with the 2%.
I'd like to know as well.
Does it exist? Are we using it? How much money is inside that account?
Are Bahamians benefiting from it?
Are Bahamians benefiting? And like nobody.
That sounds like the dormant accounts that are held in central bank.
Yeah. And so, like I told you, Ian, though, we having a good time complaining in New Providence. But our friends in Acklands are on part two of the crisis in Acklands.
What's happening in Acklands?
I want to ask one question before we get into that.
Mm-hmm.
With the dormant accounts, I think we have. It was said that they had some $90 million or dollars sitting in there. What happens to this money?
I'm going to present you with an answer because there have been explanations of what is expected to happen with monies extracted from dormant accounts. Right, so there is an explanation. I found it in the Guardian business section multiple times. Right, they say what it is. It's expected to be done with the $90 million. I could be honest. I don't care if they're not using it to fix PMH. I don't care if they're not using it to fix PMH. So let's get to the crisis in Acklands, part two. As we know, two weeks ago, Acklands Islanders were suffering through a gasoline crisis. There was no gasoline on the island. Police officers couldn't operate their vehicles. They couldn't get to their office. Essential services were immobile, couldn't do anything. Fast forward 2 weeks later, residents of Acklands have raised the alarm that they are now, today is Wednesday, they've been experiencing a power outage from the early hours of Sunday morning, right? All areas without power except for Salina Point. But the people in Salina Point no longer have telephone services because where their phone services originate from, there's no power. I think that's the reason why. Now, BPL has responded to the residents and the public, right? The staff from BPL explained, they gave an explanation, like the delay. It's been extreme weather down there. They've had lots of rain, so people weren't able to go out and work on the generator. They called in the team from, I think, Crooked Island, Long Key. They made an assessment. They couldn't fix it. They called in somebody from New Providence, I think. They couldn't fix it, so they ordered a new generator. The new generator is on the boat, and it is heading to Acklands as we speak. And they're going to have the team from the company that provided the generator, a team from New Providence, and the team from Acklands will all be down there trying to get Islanders back online. This is a big problem, though, because this has negatively impacted a whole bunch of activity in Acklands, particularly people who are preparing for the Acklands Cascarilla Festival.
Yes, and so I'm hoping that they work that out. Another thing that was trending in the news, and I know that we have about 15 minutes left, and we're supposed to concentrate on this, right? Recently, the Minister of Works, Immigration? Keith?
Labor and Immigration.
Mentioned that he's investigating. He's investigating the Atlantis Hotel in regard to if there's any intimidation by the CEO. Right? And mind you, when the CEO of Atlantis mentioned or encouraged their staff members to agitate and protest about their life earnings and the risk, whatever it is, I said, that's a little irregular. That's
irregular. Yeah.
I said, I wonder why she's doing that. But I say, the CEO, I guess it's a part of their culture in their business that she can encourage her staff members to be wary of what's happening, right? Mm-hmm. I excuse it. My concern was during COVID, when labor was complaining that they're being forced to take the vaccine and feeling uncomfortable, there was no one investigating in there. Be a minister saying that we are launching an investigation. Let's say they found something that she was pressuring her staff. Is there saying that they were planning to revoke the lady's permit? What is it? This mechanism through the news, public forum. Basically challenging the CEO of Atlantis. I find that kind of odd.
You know the saying, it's like the pot calling the kettle black. Mm. And you think it's like you can't chastise him because he's doing the same thing as you.
Mm-hmm.
We've misread that our whole lives. Actually, one is blacker than the other. Right?
One is blacker than the other.
One stays on the fire longer than the other. Both are bullying.
Mm-hmm.
Both
are definitely bullying.
One bullying more than the other. The question is which one. I would suggest it's the government that's blacker. Like you say, I remember my prime minister encouraging business owners to urge their employees to take the vaccine. I remember business owners who were also state actors at the very same time, using very, very extremely heavy words, even threatening to fire people if they wouldn't take the vaccine. I remember Prime Minister getting up and saying, we have to thwart the Constitution. We have to ignore the Constitution to run the country. And I remember people in industry complaining that their
pay,
right, the provisions of their contracts and of their legal terms were also ignored with the state. The state colluded with the hotel industry.
Aaron, we're going to talk about it on the other side. This has been Guided Radio to AM with C.A. Nuri. We hashing things out with Aaron Green. And why I forget your name, Ian? Ian Munnings. We'll be right back.
Jobs are hard to find, crime is a concern, and Bahamians are uncertain about the future of the country. There is one paper you can rely on as your source of news and commentary. The Nassau Guardian delves deeper into the issues. We ask the tough questions. We tell your stories. If you haven't already, pick up a copy today. The Nassau Guardian. News and views that matter since 1844.
Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The new Guardian Radio app is here. Listen live to all our Guardian Radio shows and live video stream select programs in our studio. Get information about Guardian Radio shows and our hosts. Send messages, including text, email, and even call. All from our amazing new Guardian Radio app. Download it free today in your App Store for your Apple device or Play Store for your Android device. The all-new and improved Guardian Radio app.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio at AM with C.A. Nuri. And of course, I have Aaron Gray with me. And of course, I have Ian Munnings with me. And this is a mashup Man Down Wednesday where we analyze the news and where we challenge the status quo. Recently, Aaron, I saw Lenny Kravitz, Bohemian citizen. I thought he was Bohemian citizen a long time, but hey, I like him. He has done a lot to promote the Bahamas. It's interesting that he did it publicly, whereas he could have called his member of parliament, the cabinet office, the prime minister, and said, man, I want to be a citizen, and it can be done automatically because cabinet makes decision on who becomes citizen and at whim. They don't need no consultation or worrying about anybody.
You know, when I was being stalked, I did it the regular way, like the way that regular people have to do it, because I was a regular person. I did it that way. It didn't amount to anything. And then I tried connections. And then it didn't amount to anything. And I still don't know who's stalking me. But maybe Lenny has decided that he wants to live the way that the people in his community live. And he don't want to be a big shot. You know, he doesn't want to use the connections he could possibly use. He don't want to use his mother's fame or even his own fame. He wants to do it the right way. It sparks something I think people should notice, which is there's a difference between like nationalism and politics, like these processes of gaining citizenship. There's a difference between that and the cultural process of belonging, you know? And politics, the politics could change at any point in time. The criteria for citizenship could change at any point in time. But the cultural criteria for belonging doesn't change in the same way.
The social media debate on whether he needs to renounce his American status, citizenship, right? And of course, this is where Bohemian became educated on our constitution. Right? Because no one else is teaching us about our constitution. So these life lessons have to happen. And then there's a clash of debates and opinions. And then finally, there's some conclusion on what is the law or whatever it is. And a number of persons said, does he have to renounce? And people said, no, if you're born American, you don't have to renounce. If you're born Haitian, you don't have to renounce your citizenship. If you're born Jamaican, you don't have to renounce your citizenship. You can keep that dual citizenship and don't longer have to pledge to other countries. And I said, no, I didn't know about that. I thought once you become a Bohemian, you have to renounce it. Or only Americans, one, are not allowed to renounce or shouldn't or doesn't have the choice or force to renounce. I don't know. I just don't know. I see a lot of talk, idle talk. And it's a conversation that we must have moving forward.
Absolutely. What I find, the point I want to stick on is what you said. Ain't nobody talking about it. And I wonder why those who are in positions of authority, those who demand to be recognized or as experts or stakeholders in the space, why aren't they talking? And even sometimes when you invite them to talk, they don't want to talk. In fact, sometimes they only want to talk when it's politically expedient, economically expedient, or a joke. And even then, you can't guarantee that they talk in sense to you, or they're being honest, or they're being real with you as well. And the Bahamian people deserve more. And these are conversations that Bahamians are talking about. And we know experts, we may be expert in something or some part
of
something.
Do we deserve more, Aaron? Do we, as Bahamian people, deserve the truth, need more information?
I thought my phone rang. You not calling? You didn't say that from the parking lot.
I just saying that. Do we really deserve more?
Yes, we deserve more. And even those who are derelict in their duty, they deserve more, right? Even if they are responsible for their own personal deficit and our collective deficit, we deserve more. Otherwise, just declare that it's a plantation. Stop all the pretense. Stop all of the illusion. Just declare it's a plantation. Tell me what my place is, what my role is, and let me get, and what the benefits are, and let me get to it. Stop with the pretend. Like, I could share a part of the dream. I could do. See, as a Bahamian, you know what that mean?
Mm.
That mean when I was on Love Beach and the developer come out there with the shotgun talking about what we doing on the beach, we reminded him and I reminded him, buddy, you might as well start shooting because we are on lawful ground, right? We are below the high water mark. Mm. Stop doing that. But, and it's the most important conversation as we reach into the 50th independence. Are we going to continue to enslave our own people just to perpetuate the illusion that we are free?
I think you put too much weight on this 50th independence as if something grand and miraculous. I even see Ian Strong was here saying for the 50th, we should be having more constitutional.
My focus is commensurate with the amount of money that has been diverted to the exercise, and the people them are getting paid and the money is being spent. And my concern is commensurate with the amount of resources that have been diverted.
I think you demand
from the
too
system.
Much of us. You demand too much of us, man. I just think that. I just think that, right? I see my phone went dead. I see we have two more minutes on that.
Yeah.
But I see that hope in the immediate future that we're supposed to have some type of authority that is going to be managing Bay Street.
Oh, because I thought you was going to say, I heard that the king is coming for the 50th independence.
I know, he's supposed to be coming before he was king, but I'm not sure if that's happening anymore.
Because I can imagine how much it can cost now that he's king. Because you know how much it can cost to change Prince Charles Drive to King Charles Drive?
No. It'll be a great exercise to have the king come. At least now we know the roads will be paved.
You think they'll pave?
Definitely.
I know Alfred says paving like crazy. You go on board in the Boyd Road, that subdivision getting paved all over. Shouldn't pave that big hole on East Bay Street. I'll appreciate it.
You mean the one that they just patched? No, that's East Bay Street.
That's East Bay Street. Yeah. Anyway, this has been Guiding Radio in the Air with C.A. Nuri. Thank you very much, Aaron. Thank you very much, Ian. Have a blessed day.